Hello, welcome to PB&J Podcast. It's Jocelyn. Today we will be talking about some triggering things, like rape and murder. So if you are sensitive to those topics, just be warned. Thank you. Please have a great time listening to this. Hello, everybody. I have really exciting news.
What's that?
I have bronchitis, I think.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Love that.
Yeah, love that for me.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's fine. Just coughing up a little blood. Whatever.
Oh, nice.
It's cute. It's a cute look.
So great.
It's a cute look. Really, it's really like, cute. Who wouldn't want to cough up a little tiny bit of blood and, you know, some whatever. Who
doesn't?
Yeah, right?
Right.
Who doesn't want to sound like they got bit by a cow? What? I don't know.
I feel like they question you sometimes.
I question me sometimes, too.
So I'm trying to, like, braid my hair really quickly.
Apparently I got bit by a cow.
What?
I didn't. I don't know. I got bit by a cow.
When?
I don't know.
Why are you bit by a cow?
Oh!
I'm curious. I'm just curious.
You're just curious. Just more. I think it's pretty painful.
It'd be a memorable experience.
That it would be. Okay, let's get started.
Do you
want
to come with me to get bit by a cow?
No, I don't think so.
Is it
because
bad?
You'd complain.
Do cows have teeth?
I'm kidding. Yes, cows have teeth.
Oh wait.
What?
I'm sorry. It's been a long, long day.
No, they just have gums. There's no teeth. Well, nothing.
They just
no
eat
teeth
grass.
They do not just eat grass.
Wait, really? What else do they eat?
Yes. Oh my god, Brianna.
One minute. I was the fan of a cow sitting on my floor. He didn't have teeth. But yet again, his mouth isn't open, but like...
Yeah.
It's moo
cow.
That
would make sense.
I like moo cow. He's cool. Sorry, it's been a long day.
Well, I guess maybe they do. Okay, wait, let me find it.
Are you looking at
corn, soybeans.
Cotton,
just that up. Citrus pulp.
You don't want to spread false
citrus
information.
Almonds, almond hulls or soy hulls. I don't know if
what?
I said that right. I don't know
I
what those
don't
are.
Even know what that is now. I'm quite curious.
Almond
hulls. You should look that up.
Yeah. Okay. Anyways, today's episode is not about cows, despite our. Oh, it's like a seed-looking thing.
It's also not about cannibals.
Yes, it's also not about cannibals. Finally.
Technically, it's still May for us. But when this comes out,
it
will be...
But it's the 31st, and it's 9:06 at night. So really, we're like 3 hours away from
so. But when this comes out, it will be, you know... What's that? June. The month of my birthday.
Ooh.
It's 29 days into my birthday. It's great, right?
Yeah. I totally remembered that, too.
No, you didn't. You don't even know my birthday is.
The 28th?
Good job. I'm shocked you remember.
Wow. Me too. I didn't remember. You just said 29 days. I thought
I know.
It was 18.
Bro, what? What a great friend.
Okay. I don't remember dates.
I know. I can tell. I don't either. Yeah. But I know your birthday, so...
I barely know my birthday.
It's okay.
I'm kidding. I know my birthday.
When the girl also asked me
really,
who my birthday
really,
was, I
really,
had
like,
no idea.
Insanely important events. But not
anyway,
well.
So this like, one's theme. So, you know, a lot of people, you know, like, get married in June. So
yeah, why
we decided,
though? I guess
because
it's summer.
Yeah. Personally, I think fall would be nicer. It's too hot.
Yeah.
But anyway,
know.
That's beside the point. So, a lot of people get married, so we decided to go with, like, you know, couples, husband-wife duos for this month.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Got marriage on the brain. kidding. That was a joke. I don't know why I thought that was funny. I'm sorry.
Anyway, I'm super excited for this month. I actually have some really exciting ones.
I'm not engaged, just like, by the way.
What about
I
your mom?
I don't even really have a boyfriend, so.
I'll text you later God. About the most exciting case we have, but anyway, that's okay. A later problem. Anyway. Sorry. Okay. So today we're going to be talking about the Morehouse murders.
Morehouse.
Which is, so this couple gave Carla Homolka and Paul Bernardo a run for their money. If you remember them,
really?
Our second episode of the crime series, really. Which
yeah,
really
did they also kill their sibling?
No, they didn't kill their sibling, but it was just very similar.
Oh.
It's also like Fred and Rosemary West, if you know who they are. But anyway.
So. No, I have no idea.
Anyway, yeah, because you're not into true crime as much as me.
No, I just listen to it and go about my day and pretend that I wasn't, I don't know. I'm
heavily invested, but not in a creepy way. Let's get started.
Are you sure?
So, yes, I'm sure.
Okay. I didn't think you heard me.
Our stories, of course I heard, are not deaf. Well, I mean, oh my god, I quit. Let's just get into the story. The story starts on November 10th, 1986, when a hysteric 17-year-old runs into a vacuum repair shop in Perth, Australia.
In Perth?
Have we done Australia? Perth. Yes.
I feel like yes. But I'm not
100%
sure.
I think we did.
I think we did Australia
anyway.
Like once or twice.
It doesn't matter. Anyway, she tells the owner that she had been raped.
So, oh, damn.
Great reaction.
Who are we talking about?
A 17-year-old.
Was she is this the girl who gets, like, raped and murdered, or the girl who, like, rapes and murders?
What?
Who are we talking about? Like, a victim?
Yes.
Or?
Yes.
Okay, all right, continue.
But no, she was not murdered.
I was a little confused. I wasn't sure if this was playing into, like, the you know.
I'm kind of starting like I did the Toolbox Killers. I'm starting from the end of the story, working my way back.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. So
I said kill beans.
Oh, sorry.
Cool beans.
The owner calls the police.
Continue.
Can I continue?
Yes, I said continue. Sorry.
Thank you. The owner calls the police, and when they arrive, she tells them a story. She had been abducted at knife point by a couple and taken to their home where she was held. However, the cops didn't believe her.
Well, that's kind of rude.
No kidding.
Okay, why wouldn't you believe?
I don't know.
But your help. Like, that's your whole job, though, man. Yeah, okay.
Know. So anyway, they pass her off to their 22-year-old colleague who was on her first day on the job. They tell her she can take notes, but to write her up for lying.
What?
You
the
good?
Duck? Yeah. No, I was just... I was dumbfounded.
Well, I mean, yeah. So anyway, the girl said a lot of things that made sense. She said she was taken at knife point, where she was held. It was a house on Morehouse Street.
Morehouse?
Yes, Morehouse.
Oh, I thought... Okay.
She explained how she was chained up and how she escaped the next morning by busting through a window. Police had no
idea. Well, dang, good for her. I think... Well, not good for her, but, like...
Yeah. Police had no idea what they were about to uncover. The couple in question were David Burney and Catherine Burney.
Catherine. Catherine. I thought you said Cathard. That's a name.
What the heck?
I don't know. That's I was like, huh?
You should name your child that one day.
Catherine. Yeah. Catherine. Come here, sweetie.
Dinner's ready, Catherine.
To the poor man that I marry, I am so sorry. My first child's name will be Catherine.
We sound delirious.
Oh, God. God. It's okay, because I am a little bit.
Me too. Sleep sounds quite nice. So well. Anyway, does. Let's talk about these people a little bit. So, David Burney. He was born February 16th, 1951, in Western Australia. He was the oldest of five born to two alcoholics, Margaret and John.
That's a little creepy.
David's childhood was pretty crappy, to say the least.
Okay. Yeah.
David and his siblings were periodically removed and put into government care due to the parents' drunken behavior. So, the Burney family had quite the reputation throughout the community. There were rumors
going around. That's a little sad.
There were rumors going around about...
Can't do accents.
What?
There were rumors... I said I can't do accents because I tried to do an Australian accent and it didn't work.
Oh, don't do it.
There were rumors going about what? Yes.
There were rumors going around about incest in the family.
Oh, that's
one right there.
That's not a good idea.
There was also binge drinking and lots of risky sexual behavior.
So these boys were just, or these kids were just in like messed up.
Yeah. Perfect, you know, grounds for a serial killer.
Yeah.
So John, David's dad, was described as being short and unattractive. In every article I saw, it kills me. I can't.
Just short and unattractive.
Yeah, literally.
Also an alcoholic.
Great.
This man is just, like,
honestly.
Yeah. They were just really going at him.
I know. So anyway, Margaret was known as being rough around the edges. She would cuss a whole lot and offer taxi drivers sexual favors in exchanges for rides.
Huh.
Anyway.
Why that's... I can't tell if that's like a hustling thing, like, you know, go get it, girl, or maybe we shouldn't do that.
So, the parents were so looked down upon that even the priest wouldn't officiate their wedding.
What? That's a new level.
He told them it would lead to no good, which, I mean, it did lead to no good.
Yeah.
It led to David.
Led to David.
That was just not good.
No.
We didn't need that.
No.
So in 1963, the Burney family moves to another suburb in Perth, where David meets Catherine Harrison, a fellow 12-year-old who lived next door with her dad.
12? How old was he?
12.
Oh, okay. Whew. I thought we were talking about a full-grown man. I was like, this is a little...
No, I mean, we'll get there later, but... She also had quite the troublesome childhood. So, Catherine Harrison. Catherine was born May 23rd, 1951. Just 4 months shy of 2 years old, Catherine's mother passed away while giving birth to what would have been her brother.
Did the brother die? Okay.
Yeah. So, both the mother and the...
baby?
Yeah, sorry. My mind just stopped working.
I know.
I don't know what just happened. It's been a long day.
Yeah.
Anyway, so obviously this left her father, Harold, which I can't with that name. I can't keep a straight face. Who named someone?
Hey, Harold.
Yo, Harold.
I knew Mike.
Hey, that should be your other kid.
Harold and what's her name?
I don't remember.
I already have my child's names picked out. Wow.
Catherine and Harold.
Harold.
Sorry. Even my own kids' names.
It's okay.
So, Harold was
also not good with names, but.
Harold was left to care for Catherine. Obviously, he was, you know, grief-stricken. So he moves to South Africa with Catherine for 2 years before deciding
he was Man's no really able. Just said.
He decided he was no longer able to care for her and sent her back to Perth to live with her grandparents.
Oh, well, that's better than, like, sending her off with some, you know.
Anyway, so over the next 9 years, her dad tried to regain custody. Eventually, when she is about 10 years old, he gets her back. They move to a suburb in Perth. 2 years later, when she is 12, she starts hanging out with her new neighbor, David.
That's a little uncomfy. That's a little uncomfy.
Well, it's not good.
No.
Anyway, so she was so happy to be able to live with her dad and have a new friend. When she lived with her grandparents, she was not allowed to play with any other children.
Okay, well, that's a little...
Yeah, so she was so happy finally to have the isolation. So at the age of 14, Catherine and David began dating. Catherine's father did not approve because he thought David was a bad influence, which, I mean, he's not wrong. He's not
Not good.
But, I mean, neither is she, so it's fine.
Well, yeah.
No, she's not wrong. She's not any better. Anyway.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, I don't know these people, but I think they killed others, so, you know.
It's like Carla and Paul. Neither of them are good. They're both terrible people. So anyway.
Both terrible people.
They both got in trouble a lot. Both David and Catherine's parents were used to getting phone calls from the local police station for catching the two shoplifting, as well as committing other petty crimes.
It's like, hey man, got your kid again. Come pick her up. Oh
man, again.
Not again!
Harold told...
stole a turtle. I hate turtles.
Yes, I know. I am very well aware.
I'm terrified. Oh my god. I don't
guess
know
what happened earlier. You know what else you hate?
If it's about a turtle.
It's not a turtle. Guess what song I was listening to earlier?
Oh my god, no.
Jessie's Girl.
I
need to stop for being copyrighted.
We're done.
Like,
yeah, we're done.
I'm a great singer.
We're done. I'm done. I don't know. I'm done.
It's over. You know what happened last? Oh, yeah. So, anyway, so Harold told Catherine she had stopped seeing David. This only made the relationship even more exciting for them.
Oh.
One moment, please.
Did they have children?
What?
Did they have children?
Not together.
Oh, damn. Okay. They had children?
Not together.
They had children.
Yeah, but not together.
Both of them had children?
Yes. That's a later problem, though. So, David's parents eventually divorced. You know, everyone could predict that, though.
Yeah.
However, neither of them wanted custody of their troubled son. I don't know if they kept their other children, but I think they did, but I'm not 100% sure.
Oh, they just didn't want that one.
Don't quote me on that. Don't quote me on that. I mean, can you blame them? I mean, they don't know what's going to happen, but, like, hey.
Raising a serial killer. That should be like a TV show about the parents of serial killers.
I know, that'd be so cool. I'd totally watch it.
I don't know if I'd watch it, but, like,
I mean, obviously,
that's a cool concept.
So anyway, when David is 15, he dropped out of school. Hey, if you want to see disappointed parents, watch Dr. Phil.
Oh, damn. That was good.
I know, right? I'm so great. So when David was 15, he dropped out of school and became an apprentice jockey at Ascot Racecourse. His job was
What the heck is that? Oh, you're about to tell me.
Were you race horses?
Oh, I know what that is.
So his job was to look after the horses. He was caught on multiple occasions assaulting the horses. So, you know.
Ew!
Not like that, Jocelyn.
I was going to say we have a zoophile on our hands.
Stop being weird.
That's not what it's called.
So, when you get a person hurting animals, you know exactly what that can lead to. No good.
PETA?
What?
Oh, person hurting animals. I thought it's like, you know exactly who that leads to. I was like, PETA?
Anyway, let's get on to the story.
Yeah.
So much has happened. My frogs are falling off the wall.
Sorry. It leads to death. Serial killers. So,
David was living in a boarding home at this time. This is where he commits his first serious offense. So he would walk around naked a lot just because.
Oh. Just because.
He's David.
You know?
He's David.
Sometimes you just want to be naked.
Just David things.
Just David things.
So anyway. However, one night he took things a little extreme, I could say. He broke into the room of an elderly woman. let me finish.
You want to know where this is going?
I mean, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I lost my spot. Oh, yeah. So he was, you know, doing his thing. He was naked and had a pair of stockings over his head. He attempted to rape her, but others heard the commotion and stopped it.
Oh my god.
You get over there?
That's nasty.
Well, I mean, yeah.
I don't like that.
No kidding. So, David is becoming a total sex addict.
Oh.
He's special.
Great.
So he liked the ideas of rape and abuse. I lost my spot. Sorry.
Liked the idea.
Yeah. So y'all know where that
leads.
Just like
into BDSM or something. Like what?
I don't know.
What does that mean? Like he did it, or he was just into the idea.
Did what?
Because both are equally like. Fucked,
oh yeah, but, like I mean, we all know where this ends up. So like,
yeah, true.
Catherine and David's relationship was on and off again, but eventually they were back together. And they committed another series of petty crimes. Eventually, they worked their way up to burglary.
Well, dang.
So on June 11th, 1969, they were both 18, and they no longer were able to get off so easily on their crimes.
Well, yeah.
Like they were when they were minors. So they were charged with a series of burglaries they had committed. David was given 9 months and Catherine was just given probation since they assumed that she was just under David's influence. So this timeline, I don't know why, but it just sounds so off to me, but this is what I could find the dates as. I don't know. Maybe I just can't do math, but anyway. So on June 25th, 1970, David escapes from jail and finds Catherine.
Did he shovel his way out?
I don't know. I didn't ask him.
No, you just went up to him and were like, hey man, don't injure me. Don't kill me, don't rape me. But like, how did he get out?
Yes, I went up to
this is not a laughing matter.
Well, I can't help but laugh here. No. I mean, even if I had that opportunity, I don't think I would have.
No, I'd hope not.
I think I'll just leave it up and guess.
Yeah.
Maybe he pulled a Ted Bundy and climbed out the ceiling.
Ted Bundy climbed out the ceiling?
You didn't know he escaped from jail?
No.
Anyway.
All right.
You should know this by now. You should be a professional.
True crime. I mean, like, I listen.
I know too much.
To you. But I don't, like, go on and watch it by myself.
Did I tell you the story about Netflix?
Okay, we gotta keep doing this, so no. You can text it later. But
dang, you're continue. So mean.
I'm sorry!
So anyway, yeah, he escapes from jail, finds Catherine. They commit another string of burglaries. They were caught a month later. David was given an additional 2.5 years, and Catherine was given 6 months.
Oh.
Catherine decided she needed to distance herself from David.
The
court system highly encouraged this.
Yeah.
So after she was released, she moves in with a family, the McLaughlins.
McGuffins.
Lawson's?
McLawson's. Okay, cool.
Something like that. I don't know. She worked for them as a housekeeper. They were a nice family in Perth. Her parole officer highly
encouraged her. So every time you say Perth, I think you're saying birth. And I'm like...
Anyway. Her parole officer highly encouraged her to take this job as a fresh start.
Oh.
So she ends up falling for one of the sons. Oh. Donald. That could be another kid.
Donald Duck.
So many great opportunities here.
So many great opportunities to name my child after serial killer.
Honestly,
boyfriends and whatever.
This reminds me of like such like a soap opera. She ends up falling for the son. She gets pregnant. They get married on her 21st birthday, and that's that.
Oh wait, is that what just happened?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Literally, yeah. That's what happened.
Damn. That went quick.
So, a few months later, she has their first son, Donald Jr. Pretty original.
Donald Duck. The Juniors.
Sorry, if I was named that, I think I would be pretty angry.
Okay, but how long ago was this?
I don't freaking know, man. Shouldn't have been. One day, their son was hit by a car in the driveway.
Did he die?
By some friend. I'm getting to it.
Okay.
The person that actually hit him was some friends they had visiting them. He did die from the injuries. However, they decided they wanted more children, so they went on to grow a rather large family. A rather large family. They wanted to have 6 additional children. Damn. So technically they had 7 children.
Okay, if you have more than 4 kids, I feel like that's kind of just...
You're insane.
I don't know if you're insane. I don't know if that happens before the kids or after the kids, but somewhere along those lines, it just gets a little messy.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Literally. Because you have that many kids, but, like, also because...
So, Catherine's husband had a pretty good paying job, but he had a back injury, so this caused a big financial strain on the family. They ended up living in government housing.
Oh, dang.
Catherine began to slowly not like her life as a woman.
I mean, that as too, a woman? But... Oh. Oh. Okay.
I mean, not that too. Plot not twist. That too. I mean, not that too. I mean, she is. I don't know.
Oh.
Sorry, I'm so delirious right now. It's fine. I haven't slept. I did not sleep last night. I'm so tired. So, anyway, she didn't like her life as a wife and a mother.
Oh.
So all the tragedy in her life was reminding her of her childhood. And, you know, she never cleaned the home, so it was always really gross. But also, she began to miss David.
Oh.
So let's get to David. So meanwhile, David had gotten out of jail and gotten married. He married a woman named Carrie, and together they had a daughter named Tanya. He had multiple affairs throughout the marriage. However, Carrie wasn't too concerned over it. She just kind of ignored it.
You know, was it an open marriage?
No, not that I know of. She's kind of, you know, looked the other way. Just like, oh, whatever.
Whatever. So anyway, cheated again. Whatever.
So, the thing here, David brought home a 16-year-old girlfriend and moved her into the home. Oh,
my God.
Yeah, he literally just moved her into the house. Like, I'm sorry, what? Up.
That first is... All,
okay, so, here's there's so many wrong things wrong here. Okay, you're married.
Yeah.
You're moving this chick into your house, and she's 16.
Like,
there's a lot of issues.
Well, how do things work in... Is it different there?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Is the dating age? I don't know.
I don't know. The drinking age is 18.
Yeah, maybe it's, like, 2 years.
I don't think so.
Or behind. I don't know.
So, Carrie and Tanya slept in one room, while David and the teenager in another.
That's messed up.
No, just like, dude, what the heck? It's okay.
That's eventually, a minor.
So eventually, Carrie is beyond over this, and she leaves with Tanya. So David also began to miss Catherine. One day, he looks her up and finds her. He finds she had been in a local hospital recently and tracks her down and gives her a call. Once they started talking, it was like no time had passed. Like us, we could ignore each other for a year.
Yeah, I don't know when the last time we talked was.
Really never. That's how you know your friends.
Yeah, you just like, you can just like, we haven't hung out since before I got COVID. So like at least a month.
It's been like 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, it's been 2 or 3 months. But it's okay because we have that connection, you know? Not the serial killer one.
Anyway, so the two never legally got married, but she did take his last name.
Oh.
That same year, in 1985, they purchased a house together, number 3 Morehouse Street in Wollongong, Western Australia.
Huh. So he broke up with a 16-year-old?
I'm assuming. And she actually, when she left her family, she had just a couple weeks before given birth to their 7th child.
Oh my god. So she just was like, bye.
It's like, here you go. I'm gonna pop this one out,
and then you can deal with it.
Here's 6 kids. I'm gonna leave now. Have fun deal with that in your back condition. Yeah. Like, Jesus. So
I'll just pop this last one out, and then I'm out.
Yeah, peace out, bro.
Bye.
So anyway, I'm sorry, if someone left you with 6 kids.
if I had like 6 crotch fruits just pop out, and I'm sorry, I wanted to use that term, and then just left them, I feel like I'd feel some guilt, maybe a little.
Maybe.
Especially,
she clearly doesn't care. Anyway, so one of David's brothers, he had lived with them for
you kind of skipped over something there.
I don't know what I just read. So one of David's brothers had lived with the couple for a brief period in 1986. That was so hard for me to say.
A brief period.
He stayed there after being released from prison himself.
Oh, dang.
He had been arrested for attempting to molest his 6-year-old niece.
What the actual hell is wrong with this family?
So much. Hey, I told you they were in incest.
Stop. I don't like that. That is. Bleh.
I'm sorry. I cannot stop laughing. Your reactions are always so great. So, while he had lived there,
fun of me?
A little bit. It's fine. So while he had lived there, he noticed the odd behavior in the home. So like I said earlier, David was
the odd behavior. The odd behavior is raping and murdering women. Just like, or people.
Oh, that's not yet though. Not yet. Soon, but not yet.
Soon, not yet. Okay.
Yeah, David was a total sex addict.
Oh, that's a cute look.
Like, we're looking at 4 times a day. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. She just really says, keep up all night, you know?
So anyway, he had also cheated on Catherine multiple times, but she did not care. In fact, she had also cheated, including with his brother, James.
Well, this sounds like a very healthy relationship.
David had actually told James for his birthday he could sleep with Catherine.
This is the most healthy relationship I've heard of in a
so great.
In a long time.
Happy birthday, dude. Here's my wife.
Yeah. But actually, she's not my wife. She's not my wife.
Not close enough, though. Anyway.
A little bit of adultery.
So anyway, once James left the home, the two decided it was a perfect time to live out some of the darker fantasies.
Oh.
Yes, now we're getting to the murder.
And the other.
Yeah. So anyway, on October 6th, not too long after your birthday,
That's not nice.
I mean, you weren't alive in 1986, but...
How do you know?
I know.
Yeah.
So, 22-year-old Mary...
Wait, you actually remembered my birthday. Good job. Okay, continue.
Yes, I'm not going to forget.
Aww.
22-year-old Mary Nelson, a psychology student, she approached David at work. He worked at a spare parts yard. She was hoping to get some cheap tires. You know, she didn't have a lot of money. She was a university student.
Yeah.
So David told her he had some tires at his house that she could stop and get them for an even cheaper price.
Hey, get into my van, lady.
Hey, if they have candy. You only
get in if they have candy. Some candy. You know.
You only get in if they have candy.
Yeah.
No other time.
Or cupcakes.
They have cupcakes. Yeah, I could go for that. He gave her his phone number and said to call when she was on her way.
Oh.
So Mary was that's her name, right? Mary? Yeah. She was super excited to get the cheaper tires. So she went to his home, which is not a good idea. Don't do that.
Like, seriously, that's like a get into my van moment there.
If he says he wants to show you his spare tire collection, don't go.
Yeah, don't go.
Who was the spare tire collection? He has
spare tires that are cheaper and you should come to his house.
There's always
unless he offers you candy.
Oh yeah, go then. There has to be a catch though.
Exactly.
You can't just get something for cheap without a catch. Exactly. That's not how this world works.
Exactly.
Sorry.
It's quiet. Okay.
I know, my loud voice isn't talking.
Okay.
I don't know what I was doing. Oh, yeah, I was talking about the chicken he murdered.
Yeah. So,
she was excited, like I said. She got there. As soon as she got there, she was... where was I? Oh, sorry. As soon as she got there, she was immediately gagged and changed.
That's a big word.
Yes, chained.
Yeah, that's such a big word.
I messed it up and they just went with it. She was chained up and David raped her while Catherine watched. So after they forced her into her own car and drove her to the Glen Eagles National Park, where David proceeded to rape her again and strangle her with a nylon cord. He stabbed her in the chest with a knife. He said he saw somewhere that said that would speed up the decomposition process.
What?
I don't know. Dude, I don't know.
Okay.
And she was buried in a shallow grave, and the couple left her car in a riverside car park opposite the police headquarters. Apparently, when they were researching murder before her, they were actually, like, researching this stuff. Saw that it was smarter to leave the car, like, in a police station parking lot or something.
Oh.
Which I find odd. Leave it, like, an airport or something, right?
Yeah.
That'd make more sense. Anyway, so the murder gave them a thrill, and they decided to start looking for their next victim.
Oh, God.
2 weeks later, they were driving and saw a girl hitchhiking. Shouldn't do that. It's not the 70s anymore, Susanna.
Yeah, no, it's... Yeah. Is that her name?
Yeah, so... Yeah, her name was Susanna Candy. Yeah,
that's her name. Oh, she really did have candy.
Sorry. She was a 15-year-old high school student.
Oh! Sorry. I don't like when there are minors involved in things. It makes me uncomfy.
I mean, yeah. So David and Catherine stopped and offered the girl a ride. As soon as the car door closed, they held a knife to her throat and bound her hands. They took her home and pretty much the same things last time, except this time
raped and murdered.
What?
Nothing.
So this time Catherine decided to get more involved per se. So. After David raped her, Catherine got fed up with him as well, knowing it would further David's desire. I guess I can word it that way. That works. So David tried to strangle her with a nylon cord. However, she fought back. They gave her sleeping pills to calm her down. Oh. I'm not exactly sure how long she was kept there, but it had to be a few days. Susanna's dad was a well-known surgeon, so when she went missing, it hit the press immediately. David and Catherine made her write letters to her family to tell them she was okay. They decided it was time to kill her. David put the cord around her neck and told Catherine to prove her love for him by pulling the cord, which she did. They buried her in the same forest near Mary Nelson, their first victim.
Jeez Louise, they're really mean people. I don't like them.
No, really? No, they're so nice.
They're so sweet. So anyway. Great parents, too.
Oh, yeah. They left their children.
Yeah.
Technically, so one left
they're
them.
They're great parents. Well, yeah.
Sorry, I totally just scrolled to the top of this page, and now I can't find where it was. One second.
You were saying something about something, but honestly, I don't really remember.
Yeah, you don't listen. So anyway,
okay. I'm not going to argue.
Yeah, you cannot.
I do a little.
Just a little bit.
It just makes me really depressed.
So anyway, November 1st, they found 31-year-old Nellie Patterson. They found her on the side of the road, her car ran out of gas. David and Catherine pulled over, and she got in. You know, same things last time. Knife found, brought to the home. David raped her while Catherine watched. They were going to kill her that night, but David got attached. They kept her for 3 days. Catherine decided she was over it and told Catherine and told David either kill her or she would kill herself.
Oh.
So, they made her take sleeping pills, and David strangled her to death. They buried her in the same forest, burying her a bit away from the others.
Oh.
4 days later, they offered a girl a ride, 21-year-old Denise Brown.
Did they same really thing. Think this was gonna turn out well?
I don't know. I don't think they really think.
Yeah, I guess think, not.
I mean, I don't want them to think of the outcomes, you know?
Yeah.
I think they just go for it.
I guess so.
Once you get away with one, it's like, oh, let's try another. Get away with that. Keep getting away with it. It's just like, oh, wow, I'm unstoppable.
Yeah, but do you get away with it? Because, like, you know, we're reading this case right now.
There's a lot of people that have, but, I mean, these people didn't.
I guess. Anyway,
same thing. Knife bound, brought home. They raped her, drove her to the forest. While they waited for it to get dark, David raped her again in the car. Once it was dark, they dragged her outside, and she was once again raped. They stabbed her in the neck, and they buried her in a shallow grave, like the others. But as they walked away, she sat up. However, David saw this and proceeded to hit her with an axe 3 times before reburying her.
Oh.
Really sucked. She was so close, man. Oh my god,
so close. Just should have waited like 2 more minutes.
I know, right? I mean, obviously, you know, that was not on her mind.
But anyway. Yeah, I guess not.
Anyway, on November 9th, 1986, they picked up their 5th victim, Kate Moore. Give me a second. Moore. Good enough.
Don't think you said that right.
I don't care. She's not dead. I'm not disrespecting her.
Oh, okay. All right.
The 17-year-old accepted a ride from them. Same thing. Knife. Bound. Brought back to the house. You know, the usual.
Yeah.
So when they got there, Kate asked if they were going to kill her or rape her. They told her they would only rape her if she was good, which I can't.
My god,
makes me sick. So they forced her to call her mom and tell her she was okay. She thought of a plan, though. She told her mom she had too much to drink and was staying at a friend's house, hoping her mom would know something was wrong, because I mean, she was not the type to drink, And she most certainly would not call her mom and be like, hey, I'm drunk.
So anyway. Hey, I'm drunk. I'm at a friend's house, mom.
YOLO.
Can you come get me?
Oh my god. Anyway, so her mom did not think anything of it, though.
Oh.
The next morning came, and Kate was still alive. David left for work, and Catherine fucks up.
Uh-oh.
She fucks up big time.
Uh-huh.
She was supposed to watch Kate, but she left through the front door to carry out a drug deal.
Oh.
Which, I mean, didn't end well for her. Kate took it as her opportunity to escape. She busts out a window and jumps out, hitting her head on the concrete in the process. But, you know, she had so much adrenaline, she just, you know, just kept going.
Yeah.
She ran door to door, frantically knocking on doors, but no one was home since it was, you know, morning time, people were at work.
Yeah.
She jumps a fence, you know, casually gets attacked by a dog.
Oh.
But she keeps on going. Then she ends up with the vacuum store, which takes us back to the beginning of the story. So, Kate was able to tell the police so many details. There was a VHS tape of Rocky Horror Picture Show and the TV, since they watched it the night before. She drew a picture and hid it in the house to prove she was there. She learned the names of her captors as well. They always use, you know, aliases. When they captured these girls, but she saw prescriptions on the counter with their names on it.
Oh.
So police found everything Kate had explained once they got to the house. Catherine and David were placed under arrest that day. So the couple was separated and questioned. And Catherine denied everything. She denied knowing Kate existed. But David said Kate showed up at the house for consensual sex. Eventually, a detective convinced David to confess, and he led them to the four graves. They were also suspects in another disappearance. I actually didn't write about that one on here, but it was a couple months or something like that. A couple weeks or months or something prior to when they began killing.
So,
David David pled guilty to 4 counts of murder and 5 counts of abduction and rape. When asked why he pled guilty, this makes me absolutely sick, okay? When asked why he pled guilty, he gestured to the victims' families and said it was the least he could do. Like, I'm sorry. I hate when people do that. She's like, dude, are you kidding me? You don't care.
Yeah.
But so,
you don't give a shit about them. No, where you wouldn't you don't have give done two it.
Fucks. Like, you do not care.
Yeah.
So he was sentenced to 4 consecutive life sentences. Catherine tried to claim insanity, but the psychiatrist said she was fit to stand trial. She was also sentenced to four life sentences. However, like, she actually served her sentence, unlike Carla Haloka, who's living her life happily in Canada, which that makes me so mad.
Anyway, I know.
We're not talking about that. She should not have been let out. She's just as bad as him. But anyway.
Yeah.
Both were mandated to serve 20 years before being eligible for parole. David was actually held in solitary confinement since he had a target on his back from the other inmates. In 1990, when the prison closed, he moved to another prison in Perth. He hung himself on October 7th, 2005. The day before he was supposed to stand trial for allegedly raping another inmate. Before his death, David had exchanged over 2,600 letters with Catherine.
Damn!
They were not allowed to speak on the phone, and no matter how hard Catherine tried, she was not able to go to his funeral.
Actually, no.
Not oh.
No, she doesn't deserve to be happy. I mean, even though he's dead, you know. She doesn't deserve it.
Yeah.
She's just as bad. So, Catherine is still in prison to this day, where she works as a librarian and participates in prison plays. She applies for parole every chance she gets, but is always denied. And in 2016, the Bernie's final victim, who survived, what was her name? Kate? Yeah. She began a campaign to end Western Australian laws that automatically put convicts up for parole every 3 years. And let me see if I can find this really quick on Wikipedia, because that is one of the sites I used. It went into that further, and I want to look at it really quick. 1 second. Sorry.
You used Wikipedia?
No, I look at their sometimes. That's not my main site, no.
Okay.
But that is something I do look at as well. So in 2017, Catherine's youngest son, Peter, called for her execution.
Oh!
He has stated that his... What? Oh! He said his association with Bernie has resulted in him being assaulted. And he supports... Oh. What's that chick's name again? Kate.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting her name. He supports that her campaign 100%. And I just find it very interesting. He literally, you know, wanted her to be executed.
Yeah.
I just find that so interesting.
Dang. All right. Dude,
what is that?
Oh, we've been going for 51 minutes. All right.
What was that? I'm so confused. What did I just touch?
I don't know.
All right. I don't know what that is. I'm scared.
Bye, guys. Thank you for listening. Sorry this is so long, but they're most of the time pretty long. So.
Yeah, so deal with it. Bye. Thank you. Bye.